page 223. The events of the night before the attack, pages 223 through 230. Page 224 is blank. Page 225. No mist came that night. The fog descended from the hills but hung back among the trees and did not creep out onto the plain. In the great hall of Hrothgar, a mighty feast was held, and Bulliwif and all his warriors joined in great celebration. Two great horned sheep, footnote 1, were slaughtered and consumed. Each man drank vast quantities of mead. Bulliwif himself ravished half a dozen slave girls, and perhaps more, but despite merrymaking, neither he nor his warriors were truly cheerful. From one time to another, I saw them glance at the ropes of sealskin and the dwarf daggers, which had been set apart to one side. Now I joined in the general revelry, for I felt as one of them, having spent much time in their company, or so it seemed. Footnote. Footnote 1 on page 225. Dahlman, 1924, writes that for ceremonial occasions the ram was eaten to increase potency, since the horned male animal was judged superior to the female. In fact, during this period, both rams and ewes had horns. Return to text. Page 226. Indeed, that night I felt I had been born a Northman. Hergr, much intoxicated, told me freely of the mother of the Wendal. He said this, "The mother of the Wendal is very old, and she lives in the caves of thunder. These thunder caves lie in the rock of cliffs not far from here. The caves have two openings, one from the land and another from the sea. But the entrance from the land is guarded by the Wendal, who protect their old mother. So it is that we cannot attack from the side of the land, for in this way we would all be killed. Therefore we shall attack from the sea." I inquired of him, "What is the nature of this mother of the Wendal?" Hergr said that no Northman knew this thing, but that it was said among them that she was old, older than the old crone they call the Angel of Death, and also that she was frightful to look upon, and also that she wore snakes upon her head as a wreath, and also, too, that she was strong beyond all accounting. And he said, at the last, that the Wendal called upon her to direct them in all their affairs of life. Footnote 2. Then Hergr turned from me and slept. Footnote. Footnote 2. Joseph Cantrell observes that there is a strain in Germanic and Norse mythology which holds that women have special powers, qualities of magic, and should be feared and mistrusted by men. The principal gods are all men, but the Valkyries, which means literally choosers of the slain, are women who transport dead warriors to paradise. It was believed that there were three Valkyries, as there were three Norns or Fates, which were present at the birth of every man and determined the outcome of his life. The Norns were named Earth, the past, Verthandi, the present, and Skuld, the future. The Norns wove a man's fate, and weaving was a woman's work. In popular representations, they were shown as young maidens. Weird, an Anglo-Saxon deity which ruled fate, was also a goddess. Presumably, the association of women with man's fate was a permutation of earlier concepts of women as fertility symbols. The goddesses of fertility controlled the growing and flowering of crops and living things on the earth. Cantrell also notes that, in practice, we know that divination, spellcasting, and other shamanistic functions were reserved to elderly women in Norse society. Furthermore, popular ideas of women contained a heavy element of suspicion. According to the Harvamal, no one should trust the words of a girl or a married woman, for their hearts have been shaped on a turning wheel, and they are inconstant by nature. Ben Dixon says, among the early Scandinavians there was a kind of division of power according to sex. Men ruled physical affairs, women psychological matters. Return to text. Page 227. Now this event occurred in the depths of the night, as the celebrations were drawing to a close and the warriors were drifting into sleep. Bulliwif sought me out. He sat beside me and drank mead from a horned cup. Page 228. He was not intoxicated, I saw, and he spoke slowly in the North tongue so that I should understand his meaning. He said first to me, "Did you comprehend the words of the dwarf Tengal?" I replied that I did, with the help of Herger, who now snored near to us. Buliwif said to me, "Then you know I shall die." He spoke thus with his eyes clear and his gaze firm. I did not know any reply or response to make, but finally said to him in the North fashion, "Believe no prophecy until it bears fruit." Footnote 3. Buliwif said, "You have seen much of our ways. Tell me what is true. Do you draw sounds?" I answered that I did. Footnote 3. This is a paraphrase of a sentiment among the Northmen expressed fully as, "Praise not the day until evening has come, a woman until she is burnt, a sword until it is tried, a maiden until she is married, ice until it has been crossed, beer until it has been drunk." This prudent, realistic, and somewhat cynical view of human nature and the world was something the Scandinavians and the Arabs shared, and like the Scandinavians, the Arabs often express it in mundane or satiric terms. There is a Sufi story about a man who asked a sage, "Suppose I am traveling in the countryside and must make ablutions in the stream. Which direction do I face while performing the ritual?" To this the sage replies, "In the direction of your clothes, so they won't be stolen." Return to text. Page 229. "Then look to your safety and do not be overbrave. You dress, and now you speak as a Northman and not a foreign man. See that you live." I placed my hand upon his shoulder as I had seen his fellow warriors do to him in greeting. He smiled then. "I fear no thing," he said, "and need no comfort. I tell you to look to your own safety for your own account. Now it is wisest to sleep." So speaking, he turned away from me and devoted his attention to a slave girl whom he pleasured not a dozen paces from where I sat, and I turned away hearing the moans and laughter of this woman, and at length I fell into a sleep. Page 230 is blank.